The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe for this Friday, the 12th of May in London. Coming up today,
Yellen out loud. US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says America has to raise the debt limit to avoid being labelled a deadbeat country.
Bumping along the bottom, the UK posts anemic growth, but no recession, as the Bank of England's Bailey tells Bloomberg he hopes rates have peaked.
Get ready to feel the squeeze. SocGen CEO says rates are impacting the economy.
And it's going to get worse for banks. Jamie Dimon says that lenders should expect more regulation.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast on Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning from London. I'm Caroline Hepker.
And I'm Tom McKenzie. You're listening to Daybreak Europe. Let's get you caught up then with the top stories of the day. And Yellen, of course, front and centre, given that exclusive interview, the US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen saying that there is no good fix for the debt limit short of lifting the ceiling. Speaking to us exclusively, Yellen said that markets need to see a decision.
What global markets and American households and businesses need to see is that we have a Congress that's committed to paying the bills that we've incurred as a consequence of our legislation, that we're not a deadbeat country.
Mm-hmm. Not a deadbeat country. Yellen speaking to Bloomberg in that exclusive one-on-one interview after a meeting between President Joe Biden and U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was pushed back. According to White House officials, the decision to delay the meeting is a sign that negotiations are making progress, at least at a staff level.
Now to the UK. The economy here eked out a small gain in the first quarter, so further reducing the risk of a recession. GDP did rise by 0.1% from the fourth quarter, but strikes curtailed activity in March. Output declined by 0.3% in that month, but it was nullified by an upward revision for January. The figures do leave the UK on track for anemic growth for the first half of this year, as soaring inflation and rising interest rates eat into consumer spending power.
Meanwhile, Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey says rates are now getting close to their peak. Speaking to Bloomberg after announcing a 25 basis point hike, Bailey was asked whether the BOE is close to a pause.
I'm going to say I hope we are, because this is the 12th consecutive increase in rates. But again, I'll be very clear that we will be guided by the evidence as it comes to us.
Andrew Bailey was speaking to Bloomberg's Guy Johnson after the BOE raised its benchmark rate to 4.5%. That's the highest since 2008. Markets anticipate the central bank may push the base rate to 5% this summer. We'll bring you more of our interview with the Bank of England governor in a moment.
Société Générale's fixed income trading unit outperformed most of its peers in the first quarter. Income from debt and currencies trading at the French bank jumped 16% from a year earlier to €890 million. This is the last earnings report under the CEO Frédéric Oudéa, who's stepping down later this month. Speaking exclusively to Bloomberg, he says he believes rates will squeeze the economy soon.
The central bank started a bit late compared with the existing inflation 12 to 15 months ago. They have catched up, but I think that we see certainly the impact, and we will see the impact on the economy. And I tend to think that the central banks will then be comfortable to stop and then probably start decreasing progressively their short-term interest rates.
Udaya will be succeeded by Slavomir Krupa, who currently runs SocGen's investment banking business.
Now, struggling US regional banks are about to get hit with more red tape. That's according to Jamie Dimon. Speaking exclusively to Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix, the JP Morgan chief said he expects policymakers to take the wrong lessons from this year's upheaval.
You see, it get worse for banks. It's just more regulations and more rules and more requirements. I hope they do it very thoughtfully because, you know, we love the community banks, the regional banks. We're the biggest banks of those folks. But, you know, if you overdo certain rules, requirements, regulations, you know, some of these community banks tell me they have, you know, more compliance people than loan officers. You know, and so at one point, you make it harder for them to do business.
Diamond's warning comes just weeks after JP Morgan stepped in to buy troubled lender First Republic. At the time, he declared that the crisis is over. But those comments did little to quell investor concern, and regional banking shares have since dropped considerably.
Well, our interview with the boss of America's largest lender comes as news emerged that the country's biggest banks face billions of dollars in extra fees in order to replenish the US government's deposit insurance fund. The assessment from the FDIC stems from the regulator's decision to insure all deposits at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. The FDIC estimates that that move costs its deposit insurance fund around $15.8 billion.
NBC Universal's head of advertising, Linda Yaracino, is in talks to become Twitter's new CEO. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. The report comes after Elon Musk tweeted that he's leaving the job, the top job at the social network, to become executive chair and CTO, where he will oversee product, software and system operations. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow has the details.
Well, Elon Musk says in the tweet that the new CEO, a she, will be starting in the role in around 6 weeks. Musk had actually said in February that he may need a year to fix Twitter before handing over the reins to someone else. What he is doing in the second paragraph on the tweet you see on your screen is reiterating something he's done said before, that irrespective of his title, he wanted to be involved on the engineering, product and functionality side of Twitter.
Musk bought Twitter for $44 billion last October, and the Times said he would only be in charge for a limited time to complete an organisational overhaul.
That story is the last in our roundup of top news stories. So it's kind of funny, really, isn't it? Because Elon Musk talked about, you know, whoever would be foolish enough to take over that top job at Twitter. But it looks as if he's found somebody actually potentially quite credible, obviously, to lead the business.
Yeah, credible, of course, with a very strong background in advertising and sales, which is going to be important for Twitter. They are a smaller buyer, much smaller buyer than the likes of Meta, but still, of course, consequential, crucial for that business if they're actually going to get back to kind of the levels of valuations for which he paid. But also, interestingly, importantly, a female CEO, a rare thing still, disappointingly, in the tech world.
Yes.
But that's good news on that front.
Yeah, absolutely. I also want to mention the Rand this morning. It's plunging at the moment, 1.2%. The currency also for the week has done incredibly badly. It's just another issue for South Africa. There is this diplomatic spat that's going on between the US and South Africa. The accusation that South Africa supplied weapons and ammunition to Russia in the war in Ukraine. This has really sent government bond yields soaring and the rand slumping to the lowest level against the dollar, frankly, on record. So there's now an investigation by the president, but there's still the Eskom power supply issue in South Africa going on. So it's just another
It's a really fascinating twist. Not even China has supplied weapons to Russia, but now accusations that potentially South Africa has. They've taken a quote-unquote neutral stance on Ukraine. Maybe that's coming back to bite them. And this, by the way, the pressure on the rand coming despite the fact that the US dollar, the Bloomberg dollar index, is down about 10% since September.
Yeah, absolutely. OK, that's something we're watching in the markets for you. But let's get back to that fascinating interview with the US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, speaking to Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern in an exclusive interview. Now, Yellen made clear that she believes there is only one solution to the debt ceiling impasse in Washington.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The Bloomberg Sustainable Business Summit returns to London on April 25th for a solutions-driven look at the sustainable business and finance landscape, looking at the latest trends in ESG regulations, supply chain innovation and transition finance. Speakers include leaders from CDP, Emirates Environment Group, Seedtrace, COA and more. Summit advisors include City Commercial Bank, Red Sea Global and Schneider Electric. Visit bloomberglive.com/SBS2024 to learn more.
All I can say is that there is no satisfactory solution for the United States, a solution that will be good for the economy and financial markets, other than Congress acting to raise the debt ceiling. There are potential different paths that could be taken if that doesn't happen, but there is not a single thing that can be done that will save the United States from considerable economic and financial damage.
But this plan was outlined back in 2011, and you were there at the FOMC meeting about it, and it said that Treasury principals and securities would be paid. Is this something that, at least for contingency plan, has been discussed with the president?
So my understanding, I was at the Fed in 2011, is that this plan was never presented to the president and never approved. And
but would you present it now?
Look, we would. We are working full time to work with Congress to raise the debt ceiling. That's where our focus is. We know that the only good outcome is one in which Congress acts as it has many times, almost 80 times mm-hmm. since 1960, to raise the debt ceiling. What global markets and American households and businesses need to see is that we have a Congress that's committed to paying the bills that we've incurred as a consequence of our legislation, that we're not a deadbeat country. Mm-hmm. And if Congress fails to do that, it really impairs our credit rating. We have to default on some obligation, whether it's treasuries or payments to Social Security recipients. That's something America hasn't done since 1789, and we shouldn't start now. So we've not discussed what to do. If that doesn't occur with the president, our focus is on getting it done.
Because, as you know, treasuries are the bedrock of the global financial system. And the asset managers I speak to, the investors, they don't have the luxury of not contingency planning. So at this point, should they assume that debt may not be serviced if there's no deal?
If Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling, we face economic and financial catastrophe one way or the other. And that's why our focus is on making sure that Congress does raise the debt ceiling. I feel that that's something we're going to succeed at doing, and we're working hard to make sure that that gets done.
As we get closer to June 1st, will you alert Congress on a more precise date?
Yes, I will update Congress as we have available information. But
anything new now or still June 1st?
Well, what I've said is early June and potentially as early as June 1. As we get closer, I may be able to provide more refined guidance. But, you know, there is a lot of uncertainty about the exact level of cash balances and payments that we have to make from day to day. And so there remains a level of uncertainty about precisely when we would run out of cash to be able to pay the government's bills.
So that was Janet Yellen, the US Treasury Secretary, speaking exclusively to Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern.
OK, let's get some context analysis then and bring in our senior Asia economy reporter, Michelle Jamrisco. For some context on this, Michelle, the warning's getting loud, and not a surprise from Janet Yellen, the US Treasury Secretary, to kind of drumbeat on the warnings around this, but really kind of insight, fascinating insight in terms of the colour and some of the details at a time when we know at the staff level we've been told that there is a little bit of traction at least.
Well, that's right. And she has to really tread this delicate balance, Tom. I mean, she's upping the stakes, as you say, talking about it being catastrophic. Yesterday in her press conference, she talked about, a potential of a default leading to a global meltdown. I mean, there's no shortage of I won't say hyperbole, but, these big talk about what could happen if they do reach that X date. Now, she also has to reassure, as she did in this interview with Anne-Marie, that, they're doing everything possible and she does have confidence that they will avoid that. But at the same time, she's not tipping her hand. She's not telling which course of action they would take or what they're favoring. She does lay out some options there, as you heard. And what our reporters have been looking at is the different things that could happen at that X date, the 14th Amendment potentially being invoked, even though that's a pretty legally fraught decision there. Payments on the debt, being a top priority, as Yellen mentioned in that interview. And then from there, it's a reduction of payments on any number of obligations that could be in the crossfire. A lot of things that are politically sensitive, like Social Security, federal salaries, and critical agencies like the Federal Aviation Administration. So a lot at stake here, and little certainty going forward. But we are fast approaching that so-called X date.
Yes, we are. The 14th Amendment, also we should be precise, is relates to, the U.S. upholding and paying its debts effectively, a very much shortened and boiled down version of the 14th Amendment. Look, the rhetoric on the Republican side, though, is also equally quite firm and noteworthy. The House Speaker Kevin McCarthy talking about President Biden, Senator Schumer are stuck on no. And then also, I think it's worth underlining that the former President Donald Trump at a CNN town hall talked about, that the Republicans are going to have to default if Democrats don't give massive cuts. He's the front runner in the Republican, potentially, for the Republican presidential nomination. So it's very fraught politically.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is the same sort of game that we've been playing for years and that, more pragmatic and cooler minds are saying, like, this is ridiculous. I mean, even Yellen in her press conference yesterday was asked about how we should do this going forward. And she said, personally, I think we need to change all of how full fiscal policy is conducted. I mean, this just isn't sustainable. So, I mean, yes, it's very politically fraught, especially right now as we're heading into the U.S. presidential election season, which, in some ways has no end, but is really heating up leading up to the 2024. And we're hearing things, as you mentioned, Speaker McCarthy, even after that somewhat upbeat postponement of the meeting on Friday, because it was a sign that aides were making progress, he came out and said what you quoted and talked about Democrats not wanting to actually avoid default and having no plan and no desire to get there. So there are going to be a lot of expectation setting comments. And I can imagine between now and whenever McCarthy and Biden meet again, supposedly next week, we will hear more from both sides about, the sort of blame game and what is at stake and trying to kind of save face as we lurch toward that critical date. Mm.
And for the markets, Michelle, we were speaking to UBS's chief European equity strategist. She was making the call that maybe you want to lean into gold at this point as a bit of a risk diversifier, maybe higher quality bonds. Bill Gross saying, look, this is ultimately going to get solved. This is an opportunity to buy short dated T-bills in the kind of 2-3 month range. How challenging is it for markets to position around this risk?
Yeah, I mean, among many days, Tom, this is a day where I do not envy money managers. I have no idea what you should be doing, but I can say that a lot of them are, there are comparisons made to previous debt ceiling standoffs. It seems like, in some ways, some are thinking this could be more serious. There's it's more intractable. And in other ways, you do hear a lot of people saying, well, this is kind of similar. We do hold out hope that they'll get it. It might be in the 11th hour, might be in the 12th hour, but they'll get there, and all investments will be saved in the meantime. But it is highly fraught, and what we heard from Jamie Dimon in that interview yesterday was he's got a so-called war room of contingencies. So they're taking this very seriously, and everyone's very on edge.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th
For the future investor, data-powered transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.